Looking forward to many more years of working with Nicholas and his team. I was asked to serve as a moderator for this very highly distinguished group of individuals here to have a discussion about the expansion and growth of the Chinese leasing industry. Everyone in this room, I think, knows very well the success story of the Chinese leasing industry in these last number of years. And I think, as well, everybody is aware of the increasing internationalization of the Chinese leasing industry. Chinese leasing companies in particular are playing an ever-increasing role in facilitating the growth of the shipping industry and in financing the shipping industry, again providing sources of much needed financing, but also serving as reliable partners to ship owners and to banks as well in the overall global shipping market. So without further ado, let me introduce the panelists here today. Let's just go down the line, starting on my left here. We have Mr. Bill Guo, who is Executive Director of ICBC Financial Leasing. To his left, we have Mr. Fang Shuzhi, who is the Head of Shipping Finance for the Bank of Communications Financial Leasing. Next, we have Jeff Zhu, who is the Managing Director of the Ship Leasing Department of AVIC International Leasing. Then we have Mr. Jack Hsu, who is the Deputy Head of Shipping from CMB Financial Leasing. Then we have Ms. Angela Zhao, who is the Director of Shipping and Offshore for CM International Financial Leasing, or CMIG. And finally, we have, not least of course, we have Mr. Alex Yan, who is the Vice General Manager of the Assets Management Department for CSSC Hong Kong Shipping Company. Given that, we have tight time constraints, so I think we'll just jump straight in, and I think we'll start the discussion. And maybe, Angela, we can start with you.
Sure.
The Chinese leasing companies have, of course, gone into a significant number of transactions in the last few years with increasing number of non-Chinese counterparties. This has obviously led to the growth of a number of new leasing companies entering the market, and I guess it's fair to say that CMIG is one of those leasing companies. Do you expect more competition and more growth of the number of leasing companies in the near to medium future?
Thanks, Connor. Yes, you are right. Actually, we are one of the new leasing companies who step our feet into this international ship financing market since 2015. When we officially started our business in April 2015, in the past 2 years, actually, CMIG leasing, we built up total $1.8 billion shipping asset portfolio. Especially in 2016, we officially started the business for overseas project in shipping and completed three transactions. And the total volume is $520 million. And we built up our landmark client, including CMACGM, MSC, etc. Actually, the question is, did we see more competitions? The answer is yes. But rather than simply competing with the active existing players who are sitting here and who are not sitting here, actually, our company did find a model to cooperate with each other. Actually, we achieved a deal together with the other lessors, and this model enables us to provide with our client with their satisfactory leverage and a reasonable funding cost and very flexibility to put the asset on or off the client's balance sheet. Actually, this is our experience since last year, and we really did successfully close the transaction based on this model. And we still have a project being discussed based on the same model nowadays. So I would say the increase of the new leasing companies do exist. And but with the recent development and the gross volume of the shipping portfolio has been built by all the Chinese leasing companies, the existing active players and the new lessors, we do have different flavor in the deal types, which enables us to cooperate and rather than the competing. So my answer is like, with more and more players here, the market is getting bigger, and cooperation and competition will be always there. Thank you, Connor.
Thank you, Angela. And just to open up generally to the panel, is there anyone else who would like to comment on that? Do you see increasing numbers of leasing companies coming forward as well? Maybe Bill?
Just a quick comment. Thanks for the Colin's question. I think in the, from ICBC leasing perspective, we're seeing the more and more competition from China for the Chinese and the house and the leasing company. I think in general it's good thing. But personally, I'm worried about that because the more and more leasing company into the market, but the market is still pretty soft, which means competition become tough. Then people have give even lower, I would say, the offer to our customers. But don't forget about the US dollar become more and more expensive. That's no doubt. After the US dollar and above the 5% of the interest rate, so who will be survive with this in a tough market? That will be the next question, I would say, and have to keep in mind right now, because eventually we have to compete not just for the project, but also compete with the cost of the money. So, yeah.
I guess maybe turning to Jack, just following on Bill's comments and Angela's comments, what would you say identify maybe as the biggest risk or obstacle perhaps to the Chinese leasing companies continuing to expand in the next few years?
Thank you, Colin. So further to Bill's comments, also my opinion, think we are more of a cooperation than competition on the this Chinese leasing beating companies competition. And for the risk for the Chinese leasing market, so can I firstly quote the rating institution's comments? So they says that the outlook of China leasing industry is quite stable and the growth will remain strong in the coming 12 to 18 months. So while its diversification of funding sources will support this expansion, so currently we do think the funding and the liquidity and the risk management and the parent bank are the key factors to driving the industry's credit profile. So the leasing company, yeah, we are, to be frank, we are facing multiple structural challenges in the external economic environment, including potential increasing in volatility in the domestic investment cycle and infrastructure development activities. So which could challenge the credit profiles in terms of the quality of assets. But for the shipping sector, so the time is everything. So you know, some leasing companies are buying something, and while some banks are selling something currently, but this, I think this mostly because of the different timing. So leasing companies do not know more about shipping than compared to traditional European banks. So why we are buying or why we are expanding the business? So we do think that's because of different timing. So I think for the leasing companies, instead, we are learning from the banks and we are learning from the experienced financial institutions to do shipping finance. We use the same lawyers, we use like Kona, we use same law firms to draft the same documentation to apply quite a similar security packages, covenants, terms. So that's totally because the leasing companies have very small historic bag, so it's totally because of a different timing. So I think also for this bank background leasing companies, we have regulators. We are complying with the rules of the capital adequacy. We need to comply with Basel III rules, and we shall be very crucial on the asset quality. So I do think to conclude, so the risk for the Chinese leasing company, I think the generally speaking, the health of the shipping market so can directly affect so how this leasing company is going. So we need to be cooperate together with other banks and other shipyards and other related parties in the industry to go forward to achieve sustainable and healthy growth in the future. Okay, thank you, Colin.
Okay. Anybody else want to add to that? Jack, maybe just as a bit of a follow-up. Obviously, your leasing company is affiliated with one of the large banks. Yes. There are other leasing companies that are, say, separate from banking institutions.
Yes.
What would you, just as an overview, and what would you identify maybe as potential obstacles, say, for the banking-affiliated leasing companies versus the non-banking-affiliated? Are there different risks or different obstacles?
Yeah, there are different obstacles because bank leasing company we need to regulate by the CBRC, the regulator, and then we need to comply with the rules. Also, we need to increase our provisions for the existing portfolio. So that means we need to more be sharp on the funding cost. So that's quite just like Bill's mentioned. So the funding cost may be very important. We need to pay more attention to the liquidity of the leasing companies. So the capability for raising fundings to decide to what kind of deals we can do. All right.
Anybody else wish to add to that? Mr. Fong, maybe I can follow up with you now. The last few years, I think the leasing companies would be fair to say that started off in the Chinese domestic market. Many of them expanded then into Asia in general, and are now quite active in the European shipping market and with shipping companies. Do you see further expansion into other geographic regions for Chinese leasing companies, perhaps North America, South America, places like that?
Actually, I'm from not from China shipping, but from Bocom Munition.
Okay.
Yes, you are right. Asia and Europe is really a good market for leasing company, especially for Chinese leasing company entering into leasing international shipping market. Because especially in Europe, there are really many, many top clients. And so since 2013, we entered into international market by doing projects with European first class clients. And that's also the reason last year we launched a new office in Hamburg just to reach our clients more closely and to provide a better service. And now in our portfolio and also in our clients list, we have about 30 international clients, and about 50% is from Europe, and 25% is from Asia. And we believe for leasing company, but the regional and geographical, and especially for some country in Europe and in Asia, we still need to consider the country risk. And so even in Asia, everybody know we can't do business with North Korea, right? So, and even in Europe, there are also some countries has high country risk. And except Europe and Asia, actually now we also have some clients in other countries, as regional. such as TKLNG, Scorpio tankers, and also CSPAN. So for us, the region and especially the country risk is our one concern when we develop a project, and we still need to consider the vessel assets value and cash flow and other factors. But come to country risk, we believe we can find some way out if the some country, even in Europe and Asia, has is high, then we can buy said SPV, buy transfer the country risk to the charterers. If the charterer is in other low country risk region. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fong. Yeah, Alex.
Hello. May I put something additionally? When we talk about our customers in Asia, Europe, and all American or African, so my first question to our friend here is, what is the leasing company? Think about it. Leasing company means we are lessors. We are not operating owners. We are head owners. We are tonnage provider. But we are not competing with our customers in Europe, in Asia, in America. You know, generally speaking, we are financier. So if shipping is international business, so for leasing business, it should be also international business. I think all of us, we have an international customer, and actually for our company, I think at least 80% are international customers. We're not limited to China, we're not limited to any continent. So if the question from the corner is if we are open to any market in addition to Asian or European market, yes, we are.
Thank you, Alex. Just as a follow-up to that, maybe I'll just open to anyone who wishes to answer this, but is there any, have you been approached or is there any consideration of entering the U.S. market for any of your leasing deals? As some of you may know, there is a provision in U.S. law to enable foreign lessors to be involved providing bareboat financing. Is that something that any of you have considered or discussed?
Yes, so far we have not involved any American U.S. flag vessels finance because of a Jones Act. So that's maybe require lessors to set up an entity in U.S. So, but maybe in the future we can just work together with the lawyers to find out if we can do to find out about the proper structure to explore more U.S. Clients.
I suppose actually we're talking about the international market. I have opinion of the shipping market, the international shipping market is not from Chinese market to a local market in Europe, in Southeast Asia or United States. Generally, since shipping is a global market, trading from Europe to China to Africa, and actually the ship owners, the set SPV in Marshall Islands, Liberia, and some convenient flag countries. So actually, it's just a cross-country market. We don't think we should enter into some local market. I suppose there's not a lot of foreigners attending this foreign in China, but actually what we are doing just across the world. That's it.
A quick comment about the American market. ICBC has a very big and organization in the U.S. and we have headquarters in New York, and we are in the same building as the Trump building. So, and our CEO of the ICBC had a personal good relationship with the Trump before he became the president of the U.S. And because we are leased their buildings for many years. So we haven't done much in the American-based customers, and we treat the U.S. as kind of a funding source. And so we take our New York branch as the center for us to do like the bond or other kind of the, you know, way to raise the money. And then we use that money and take those money to invest into other international customers. So the different strategy and different approach from our ICBC and leasing perspective.
Thank you. I think just kind of rounding out this question, Mr. Fong mentioned country risk is a very important aspect of considering any new deal. So I won't ask anybody here if the country risk analysis has changed for the U.S. recently, but it's an interesting market, I think, for leasing companies to consider in the future. Jeff, maybe just going back to you, we have a number of ship owners, clients of ours, that are curious, say European owners especially, that have not done a deal with a Chinese leasing company yet, and they ask us about, you know, what's involved and how do we meet these leasing companies and what are they looking for. When you have a potential new client, a potential new deal, what are the main considerations that you are looking for from this new client? Is it the reputation of this shipping company? Is it the balance sheet, the fleet size? What are kind of the key aspects that you look at?
I suppose it's a good question for me to answer. Actually, yes, Chinese leading companies playing a more and more important role in the shipping market. But when we're talking about leading companies, actually, as some guys just mentioned, the guys at the table, actually, we could be sorted into two parts. The bank-owned leading companies and the non-bank-owned companies. I suppose the different background leading companies have a sort of different perspective on the clients. You know, the bank-owned companies, they have a bank parent company, so their liquidity is very strong. So, and actually in Chinese market, most leading bank-owned leading companies, their parent company don't do many ship financing business. So actually their branch of doing ship leasing business. In this view, so actually the leading companies bank background, they are doing more, I have more bank perspective to do the business. So the financial statement, the reputation, and the company's overall cash flow, all these factories, they will highlight these factories in their operating project. On the other hand, the other companies like Epic Leasing, we don't have parent companies like bank, so we don't have the very strong liquidity prospection of our parent. So the liquidity of the asset, it's very important to us. After leasing, we started our leasing business from 10 years ago, but we are very cautious to step into the global market. And actually, we generally prefer to do some business with some bulkers, tankers, very general ship styles. If there is something wrong with this project, we can deal with these cases very easily. That's it.
How about anybody else on the panel in terms of new deals that you're looking at? Can you maybe give some insight as to what, do you agree with those comments, or do you have other factors that you may consider as more important or equally as important?
Yes, I would like to comment further. So yes, like Jeff's comments, is maybe a little bit different between the background and non-background leasing companies. But so from the perspective of our background leasing companies, so we normally use the 3C's rules to judge a project. So yes, just similar to from written in the textbook. So we firstly we look at the counterparties, the counterparty financials, the counterparties basic information. It's the first C. The second C is the cash flow. So we need to see the cash flow. We need to run the numbers to see how the cash flow to support the finance facility. And the third C is collateral. We need to see the assets, how the assets strongly backed the project. So that's the same like banks and also, but for the leasing, we may be focus more on the asset perspective. So we need to listen to experts from the industry, to listen to shipyards, listen to class, listen to veterans to see the which kind of asset and what about the price we can accept in the particular project. So also I just saw my our credit office sitting there. So all of my words may be shared to subject to our credit comments. So anyway, so banks leasing company, yes, yes, we always just try to be like traditional European banks do and like normal standard shipping finance do. But we try to tailor made and to satisfy the ship owners' requirements. Okay, thank you.
Actually, I'd like to say something a little bit more about this question, Connor. For our company, actually, we are not the bank leasing company, and our group is the largest private investment group in China. So the transaction we have completed, actually, we have a large exposure for the operating lease, which means we are quite focused on the residual value of the asset itself, which enable us to get the, we believe, the extra value from this deal. So I think, you know, for the people who are sitting here, we did have different favor and appetite in the deal itself. Thank you.
I think, Connor, when we talk about, you know, what kind of perspective ship owner client we want to see, for the leasing company, I think when we see one customer, we want to see the this owner or operator or charterer capability, and if they have a real demand, you know, for leasing financing, if they have a strategy, and how about their position in this market? It could be a charter, it could be a charterer, could be a big owner or mid-sized owner or very niche market leader. But anyway, they need to show the leasing company a very clear picture with a very clear view so that the leasing company can be convinced.
Maybe Bill, I can turn to you on the bit of a follow-up question on this. The moment, obviously, different sectors are performing well or relatively well in the shipping market at this point. Some other sectors are still struggling. Are there any sectors of the shipping market, and by that I mean, you know, LNG versus tankers versus containers versus bulkers, that you would not consider financing at the moment? Or is there, you know, is there anything that you particularly are focusing on more than anything else at this moment?
Thank you, Connor. For the ICBC leasing, I've shared some data for you guys, and so far we have over 300 ships with the kind of book value over $5 billion just for the shipping division itself. And I think we have pretty and wide, I would say, segmentation in the shipping, including dry bulk, tanker, cruise, and offshore. And fortunately or unfortunately, and as well other kind of the segmentation as well. So we are very, I would say, generally and appetite for any of the ship assets as far as the ship owner is good and healthy in terms of the cash flow, in terms of the profitability. And back to Gordon's question, and you know, so right now we think about the shipping already in the historical low, and already lots of the ship owners today or yesterday were traveling in the Singapore or maybe in the Europe, and we already discussed discuss about the new investment opportunity. For me, you know, shipping is a very long history. You know, you should be patient. Anything you invest, just, you know, be patient. As far as that very strong cash flow to support you, you shouldn't worry about the assets, the value. Eventually, they all get back. Because we have seen so many in the stories or the cases in the shipping industry, and people keep that fat, be patient, and waiting for the day to recover, then, you know, it's done. They become success. Into the shipping segmentation, right now, personally, I'm very interested in the, for the dry bulk. That's surprising that just maybe someone, but you know, I think for some people don't surprise because the dry bulk data are very low. And we have done some deals already in the past few years based on the COA contract, based on the operation leasing. And due to the environment, you know, the new rules, it will be implemented in 2020. I think more and more the dry bulk are going to scrap or had to be replaced by the new buildings. And you have seen the data in published by some other medias. In the past 2 years, there's a very limited new building in the dry bulk, which means in the certain stage, the market needs the dry bulk again. And you know, don't quote me and say about we should invest in the dry bulk, because the market is still very soft, and lots of people still, I think, on this table, everyone has the dry bulk in their books. If we have to start to put the new order into the shipyard, then the market goes down very quickly. You know, I'm just talk about from the, I would say, the investment, also from the potential perspective. This might be a good opportunity. Containers and had been in the soft for some times, and you know, I don't think we can see the recovery soon in the short term. But for the long term, after this and the three big alliances work together, I think the shipping freight will become the stable, which means and we still have an opportunity. But we have to work with the big guy. The guy is strong enough to support the future cash flow, ensure the business will be survived in the future few years. Unlike the tankers or maybe the LNG, I would say tankers, you know, in a good situation for a few years. We didn't do much tanker business in the past few years from ICBC leasing because we worry about other things, our own concern. LNG, we have done a few big deals for the LNG. Maybe you already know about that. You know, again, on our table, and you know, some of the leasing companies also have done the LNG deals. You know, this is also, I think, because ICBC is the world, you know, largest bank, also the largest bank in China. So we have to support, not we have to, but we must support our global China's government strategy. That's what we told. And we need the clean and the energy, we need the clean and the environment. So energy definitely is much cleaner compared with other traditional and the fuels. That's why we put so much and money to support the LNG business, not just for the vessels, but also for other kind of equipment or infrastructures in China. Offshore, definitely not good right today. So back to the corner question, which segment should not invest at current stage? Maybe the offshore. But people said about the offshore has been low for some time, especially for like a jackup, like the dry bulk. People have think about in some of the investors maybe to consider look at some of the jackup with very, very low, I would say, the book value. I think maybe it's good as far as, you know, as far as you have enough cash, you know, don't take too much leverage, because leverage is sometimes very unhealthy for lots of shipping company. If you don't take much high leverage, you have enough cash, do that, no problem, because jackup, the price had compared with the peak, is sometimes only 1/10. It's very low, and especially while within Europe, and I already heard some feedback, some strong, I would say, the investor have think about this segmentation. The last one is the cruise shipping, and I heard about, you know, I think a lot of people were interested for the cruise shipping. It's like kind of the, I would say, and the gold or maybe the diamond. Lots of people just, you know, put a lot of money into the cruise, and said about maybe the last maybe the diamond in the world, which in the China shipping industry hadn't been built up. So some of the Chinese shipyards started to build the cruise in China. We don't know, honestly speaking, we don't know, and it would be possible, you know, because Japan had failed. But China, you know, everything is possible in China, so I think maybe could be put up very good in the cruise. And let's see. But, you know, we are, ICBC, the first the leasing company, I mean, the China leasing company, to to and do the cruise leasing. Very, I would say, the innovative, very pioneering. So far, I think the return in the cruise, in the with our current three projects, is very, very profitable. I think because when we did this, like my friend said about that, it's timing. When we did an investment in the cruise ship is very cheap, honestly speaking. Not very cheap, but you know, I would say the leverage very low, and the IRR returns, you know, we could charge very high. Now it seems everyone like to go to the cruise, the competition become tough. We have seen about maybe time for us to kind of the be cautious. I didn't say about leaving, but be cautious. So we sell some of the cruise ships, and so the return is very, very good for the 2016. But you know, we still keep an eye on the cruise because cruise shipping and still, I would say, from cash flow perspective, is stable. It's good business. So that's my general kind of, you know, opinion about the shipping industry. But you know, still we continue to support the shipping and we continue to invest at the market. Never leave the market. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Well, as someone who was involved in one of your cruise ship deal last year, I can verify that it's much nicer to have a closing on board a cruise ship than some other types of vessels. So it's quite an interesting industry, though, for the leasing industry to move into. Does anybody else have any thoughts on sectors that you are focusing on at this point or sectors that you are not considering at this point?
Yes, Conan. First of all, Bills, we do not encourage our clients to speculate, to gambling in the market. So, but when the counterparty is not so strong, the cash flow is weak, we can focus more on the asset side. That means, yes, we understand recently, Bill done deals just backed by a long-term COA and just directly cooperate with operator, with shipyards, with management companies, and get a very long-term matched COA contracts. Maybe that's a good model we can follow. And for the cruise sector, yes, since Bill's prevails deals can prove that's profitable, why not? We can follow. So we are open to see the sectors. Yes, we are. But yes, shipping finance is in a long term view to look at every single deals. So that's just not about 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. Maybe from 5 years to 10 years to 15 years. We need to consider every single deals in long term. So at the beginning of invest, so we need to consider how the cash flow in the future, how the asset value going, the trend of the asset price going. So yes, we need to cooperate every related parties to think out if we can do this kind of project. Okay.
Just as we're coming to the end here, I think maybe just one last question for the panel, and maybe I can ask Alex to address this. I realize it's maybe a difficult question, but just in general, if you had to make, what would be your best suggestion for the shipping industry at this point, given its financial condition and what we've heard earlier this morning and in other presentations about the condition of the shipping industry? What would be your best suggestion as a way to improve the industry, the financial condition of the industry?
Normally, health problem should be answered by the doctor. I'm not a doctor. But anyway, I try to give some suggestion. As mentioned by Mr. Zhang Ye at the beginning, you know, we have an oversupply problem of this shipping and offshore industry. Then what to do? I think we have to check the details. Number one, assets. We have to consider our assets. A modern design, low consumption, well-maintained quality vessel can ensure a sustainable charter performance. Take in mind, this is not 3 months S&P. This is should be long-time commitment. Number two, human. All businesses are human businesses. So does shipping. It is highly suggested that companies should find the right partners, recruit and cultivate talent, mitigate the risk of counterparties, hire effective technical and commercial managers, and also many well-trained seafarers.
Number three, financing. Importance of suitable financing solutions like leasing, like loan, like other alternative financing should not be underestimated. In addition to interest rate, all the companies should be aware of the understanding of the business will be fully reflected in your loan facility agreement or your bareboat charter party or your TC charter party or COA contract. That means the tenor, repayment frequency, LTV, let's say loan to value, and also security instrument, insurance and repair, maintenance and inspection, cargo and trading restrictions, etc. are to be strictly followed up. We all need to honor the contract, including short-term contract and also the long-term contract. I think if all companies are doing from from these three aspects, we should see some improvement of the market. Simply to say, ask other people not to order or not to contract or not to do something, that's not a solution. But if we do from the small detail, then maybe we can see a healthy market. Thank you, Connor.
Thank you. Does anybody else want to add to that? That's a very good perspective. Thanks, Alex. I think that's it for us. And so thank you very much to all of our panelists. And if we can get a round of applause, thank you very much.